Hey guys, I am coming to you from gorgeous Florida. Surprise, surprise. And no, that's obviously, as you can see, it's a virtual background. Why? Well, because I'm not in my studio, of course, and I am in my granddaughter's nursery. So you don't need to see that. You just don't. So this is our background. I'll have to try and keep my hands down. It's not the best virtual background, is it? Or maybe I'm just not the best at it. Whatever. It's all good. By the way, grandbaby number two is here and she is doing fantastic. She was born at 3:30 a.m. on drawing a blank because we're lacking sleep, but she's about a week old now. She's just over a week old and she's doing fantastic. 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Woo! Mommy and baby are doing great. We are having a blast. I am here for almost all of January to help out, thanks to my wonderful, amazing, gracious husband who said, I totally understand you need to be with your grandbabies and help our daughter during that first, those first early days, which are exhausting. She has two under two, so exhausting, but she's doing great. So anyhow, today's topic, we're talking about marriage. I wanted to talk about this today because I was thinking about my husband throughout this whole time. I'm in Florida for the whole month of January, almost. I leave in the last week or before the last week. And this is only possible because my husband is okay with it. And I don't want to use the word allows because it gives like weird connotations, but allows it. And that is so incredibly gracious of him, mainly because we're a one-income household. This podcast, it's not making bank, guys. You know, so he is the primary breadwinner in our home. And for him to say, you know what, listen, this is a time where you need to be with our granddaughters and our daughter and be there for them and help them. And I totally understand. And, you know, it sucks because we miss each other. We love each other. We like hanging out with each other. But he's like, go do it. Do what you got to do. It's all good. I'll hold down the fort. Okay, listen. Don't tell him I told you all this. But by holding down the fort, that means that I did, like, prepare and cook a whole bunch of food for him and put it in the freezer and like individual bags and stuff and labeled. Are they labeled? I don't know if I labeled them. I put them in designated areas, but you know, he's got meals for like the whole month if he wants them. I mean, you know, he can't cook, but he can go out to eat and stuff like that if he wants. That sounds like I'm giving him permission. It's not like that, guys. It does totally sound like that. What it is a lot of great things. And I want to break it down for you. And I'm not saying that this is how everyone's marriage should be, but I do want to talk about what we think are three main ingredients for a successful marriage or successful relationship. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be marriage, but relationship. And I'm going to tell you what they are. And I have to give credit to my husband because he's actually the one that coined this phrase. We're going to talk about it in a minute. First, I want you to remember something. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, committed to somebody, I want you to think back on your first date, your first kiss. And just think about those for a minute. And hopefully when you think about those things, they still make you smile. Like it gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling. Are you remembering those things? Okay. Now I want to ask you if you and your husband or wife or partner ever talk about your first date or your first kiss or any of those things, or the first time one of you said, I love you to each other. This is so mushy. I usually don't do mushy stuff. I can't stand mushy things, but I'm doing it. I'm going there, guys. I'm super awkward about it too. Like, am I blushing? I might be blushing. I feel really weird talking about these things, but it's important because I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be successful in their relationships. And again, I'm not saying I have the answers and, you know, all of that. I'm just telling you what works for us and why we're so solid. So, yeah. So do you guys ever talk about those days? Now, I read, did I read or watch? I don't remember anymore. It all blends together. I either read or watched somebody say, it's probably like a marriage counselor or therapist or somebody like that, say, pay attention to how your partner talks about your, or pay attention to how you also talk about your first date, your first kiss, your, all of your firsts together, your earliest memories of your dating, of your courtship. And if that changes over the years, like if you used to talk about your firsts with this smile and joking and this little banter thing, like when you tell the story together, you know, do you finish each other's sentences and say like, oh yeah, no, it was at this restaurant, and oh, and you ordered, you know, do you do those little things? And are you smiling and are you laughing about it? And does it give you that feeling again, like that memory, that happy memory of all of that? Because this is really important. He said that, or she, I don't know, said that when that changes, if that changes, if the way you tell the story changes to more negative, you know, if you start becoming like, oh yeah, yeah, yep, he ordered the salmon and I can't stand salmon, but you know, he ordered it. If you start doing things like that, you might be in trouble. Or you probably already know that you're in trouble, don't you? Like deep down, you kind of know, but you just don't pay attention to like little things like that. My husband and I, we actually talk a lot. Did you just see a little bit of the background? You did. Every time I turn my head. Okay. I know. I get it now. It's the kid's dresser behind me. Every time my husband and I talk about, it's still there. I still see it. What if I do this? Oh, well, we're over it, right? Every time my husband and I, still 15 years, we've been together 15 years. And every time, and yes, we do talk about it, not frequently, but often enough. I think that's pretty common. Like you bring it up or people ask you, right? People are like, oh, how'd you two meet? You tell the story. And 15 years later, my husband still and I still tell the story the same way, like the same way. We're a broken record is what we are, really. Same memory, same banter, same feelings. And that's the important part, like the same feelings. Like I still see the moment he walked into the restaurant or restaurant/bar. Not a blind date. We met on I'll tell you the story. My husband and I met on a dating app, match.com. Match.com. If you still exist, I think they do. If you need like the perfect couple to represent your success stories, hello, that would be us. Thank you. So obviously I'm not getting endorsed or anything by match.com telling this story, but they can if they want to. We met on match.com. We talked for several weeks before we actually met. Like 3 weeks. I think we talked for like 3 weeks. I saved our emails, our messages. Yeah, I still have them. And guess what? So does he. What? Yeah, he does. Don't make fun of him. He's a manly man. It's very manly to keep things like that. So obviously we both must have known something early on. Maybe not consciously, but maybe subconsciously. I don't know. Don't know. So anyhow, we agreed to meet. And as the story goes, now this is a fun fact, embarrassing fact, really. I am a small town girl. I have always lived in this little bubble, if you will. And I rarely, if ever, I mean, like maybe like three times. So embarrassing. I can't believe I'm telling you this. Like three times at best, I drove into the city, which is like only 15 minutes away. I never had a reason to. The place we agreed upon to meet was in the city. And I was extremely nervous because of parking. And yes, it's also embarrassing. I can't really parallel park. Oh, I can now. Technically, I can now. I know how to do it now. I just try and avoid it. Listen, I know my skill set. That's not part of it. Okay. Don't judge. Don't start with the blonde and all that. Mm-mm-mm-mm. We're not doing that, guys. So I didn't want to tell him any of that because I was like 34, I think we met. 34-year-old grown ass mother of two children could not be a big girl and drive to the city and park. So I didn't tell him. I just said, okay, no, that sounds great. Yeah, no, perfect. Good. Yeah, we'll do that. I decided to, like, I went over all my options. I'm like, can I have a friend drop me off? Well, that's not going to work. I was like, okay, well, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up early. I'm going to go early so that if it's a big production for me to park, find parking and do the actual parking, he won't see it. He won't have any clue and I'll never have to own up to it or anything. So when I got there, turns out they had valet parking. Thank God. Valet parked. All was good. Got there first. I was nervous. I didn't really date. I was married before. So I just went from being married to being not married. So I really didn't have much dating skills anymore. Last time I dated, I was a teenager. So that's like the last time before marriage that I had dated. I was a teenager. You can't go by that. That's useless, useless. And so I had a glass or two of wine before he showed up to calm my nerves. And I was talking on the phone with my friend and giving her the updates, you know, every time the door opened and somebody walked in. Now, mind you, we'd only seen each other through some pictures. And we just talked, you know, by email. There was none of this. There was no Zoom. There was no FaceTime. We're going back 15 years. It just wasn't a thing. And so every person that came in, and I knew what he looked like, but for some reason, every person that came in, I'd go, oh my God, he's here. Okay. Oh wait, no, that's not him. I did that like 10 times. So finally, when he did walk in, he wasn't late. He was on time. But when he walked in, I said, he's here. I've got to go. Bye. And I hung up and I kind of dropped the phone down and watched him walk in. And I watched him like look around the place, look for me. And then he spots me. And then he doesn't like smile. He grins and he does that thing and comes over and sits. And we like do all the awkward, hi, great to finally meet you in person, you know, all the dorky stuff. And we had agreed that, you know, this is a first. It's not like it's almost weird to call it a date. It's like a meeting almost to see if you want to date. So, but we'll call it a date just for the sake of calling it a date. So we're on this first date and we agreed that, listen, we, you know, this first time we'll do a cocktail and see how that goes. And if everything's going well, we'll grab a nap. Sound good? Yep. Sounds good. So that's what we do. Well, I'm going to skip all the detail. Well, I'll tell you the most embarrassing detail because this is really part of our story that we tell everybody that everybody loves, or they act like they love our story. Maybe they're just bored and they're like, okay, oh, that's so cute. Oh, I don't know. Who cares? But I'm going to tell you anyway. So I don't know if you've noticed, I can be a little bit animated. When I talk, the hands start flying. We had gotten to the point where this is going well, we will order an appetizer. So we both ordered a jumbo shrimp. And because they were jumbo, like seriously mega jumbo, I was cutting them with a knife and fork. And as I'm talking, I'm like cutting, I take a bite, take a pause, continue my story that I was telling him. He's watching me tell this story. Unbeknownst to me, my plate is inching closer and closer to the edge of the table. And he says that he was so sure that I was going to realize it and stop it and move it back that he didn't say anything. He didn't really think it was going to fall because, of course, I asked him, why didn't you tell me that it was getting so close to the edge of the table? So I thought you would notice that. I did not notice the plate. We were sitting at a bar height table, you know, the higher tables. And the plate at the last cut, the last time I pushed down my fork onto that piece of shrimp, the plate did exactly what you thought it would do. It fell. And I swear to God, I swear to this day, that plate fell in slow motion. I remember watching it just go, and then of course the big smash. And the place wasn't packed, but there was enough people in there that they all turned and looked at us. And I'm looking down at the plate and he's looking down at the plate. I have to keep my head up so you can see my eyes, right? And we both are looking down at the plate. And I very slowly, I'm trying to figure out how to handle this because of course I'm mortified and I'm trying to figure out how to handle this. So I probably looked at the plate longer than he did because when I looked up, he's looking at me like this. And I had to tell the truth. I said, this kind of thing happens a lot. And we laughed. And that was it. And that was like the icebreaker. I was still mortified. I mean, clearly it's 15 years. I'll never forget the fact that I dropped that plate on a first date, but it's like the least of all the things that I've ever done. That's embarrassing. So I guess it's okay. But that's part of our story. Our date ends up going on for 6 hours. It was a 6-hour date. It ended sometime after midnight, after which the valet service had closed, packed up and left for the night. So he had to help me get my car out of a locked garage, which we were able to do. It was all mortifying, to which I had to explain why my car was valet park. Why did I valet park? There was plenty of parking at that time of day of the week and all of the things. So I had to confess that. So that was very, lots of embarrassments. The next day, I did the thing that girls are guilty of doing. I refused to text him first or message him first. Was it texting? I don't remember anymore. I refused to message him first. Yeah, it was texting. But I kept checking my phone every 2 seconds to see if he had texted. And by mid to late morning, I get a text and all it says is, break anything yet? And right then and there, I was like, okay, all right. Okay, he's fun. I like this. I like it. Okay, cool. And of course, I did have to confess that I did break something. I broke my heel walking into work. And it literally, it wedged into one of the cracks in like the pavers or whatever. And it stuck. And I kept going and it didn't. I broke my heel. So yeah, I had to confess that too. So it really set the tone for our marriage or for our dating and everything. He just knew what to expect, that things were going to break a lot. I would be walking into things frequently. It's just stuff that happens. And for some silly reason, he finds it endearing. Yeah, he rolls his eyes, definitely, but he finds it endearing, which I find endearing. So it's really cool. But anyhow, long story, really long. We still tell the story in the same way. We still laugh at the same parts. We still smile at the same parts. We still talk about the small details. You know, our date moved from place to from one place to another, from one bar/restaurant to another one around the corner. And, you know, we remember so many little details. And that's where we had our first kiss too, by the way. It was a great kiss. Great kiss. And yeah, I mean, just little things like that. So my point being is really just to go back to the point I already made, which is that be careful of noticing how you talk about your first date or your early years together. And if you're not talking about them mutually with fondness, you need to address it because there's a problem. There is a problem there. I guarantee it. I will stake money on it. Now I'm going to say the most cliche thing that you hear all the time, but it's honestly incredibly true. Your partner should be your best friend. Like your absolute best friend. That's the person you should be going to first to tell him about what happened at work or with the kids or, you know, the frog you saw on the ground. I don't know. That's something I would do. I'd call and tell him about the frog I saw on the ground and send him pictures of it too. I've done it. He should, or she should be number one. Always. And if you can't reach them, to tell them the story first, wait until you can. Don't tell somebody else first. Don't do it. Don't. They're first. They're the first ones to hear everything. That, in my opinion, is critically important because you're always putting them first and they know it. They need to know that they are the first one you go to with everything. And of course, they should be appreciating that and loving that about you. My husband, in one of our many, 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 many deep talks that we have years ago, right? We're going way back. We were talking about relationships and what makes a good relationship. I told you I was going to get to this, the thing that he coined. And we were discussing what makes a great relationship and what are those ingredients, right? And he said, you know, here's what they are, in my opinion. The three things that you have to have for a successful relationship is timing, balance, and chemistry. And I sat for a minute and I like let that kind of sink in, see if I agreed with them. So timing, balance, and chemistry. Timing, balance, and chemistry. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, all of the other things are like almost, they're almost a matter of course, right? Trust, respect, all of that is a given. Of course, you have to have those. That's a given. But the baseline, like the foundation, the ground floor is timing, balance, and chemistry. So I don't know what order you want to put them in, but we'll start with chemistry because chemistry is technically like usually the first thing that attracts you to another person. You have this chemistry, you know, you could go, I went out. So go back to the match.com days, match.com. Yeah. Match.com days. I said it so fast. I didn't realize what I said, or I wasn't sure what I said. I went on two other dates with two other people before I met my husband. And I knew immediately that it wasn't going to go anywhere, that this was not my person. I wasn't really looking for my person, to be honest with you. I was just trying to get out of the bubble. I was trying to do something a little more adventurous and outside of my normal things that I did. So I wasn't really looking for somebody. But I nonetheless, I knew that they did not meet the criteria. There was actually another one that, and so this is really shallow and I'm going to own it. I don't care. I did have, you know, when you go on these sites, I don't know about anymore. It sounds like they're all just hookup sites now. I don't really understand. But back then, at least, you would fill in like all of your criteria, I guess you would call it, like what you like about somebody, qualities that you look for in someone. And, you know, so the questions are a bit superficial. Of course, it's about appearance, you know. So one of the things that it gave you the option to put in was height. And yeah, I like a tall man. I like tucking in under their shoulder, under their arm. I love that. So that was a criteria for me. I wanted somebody tall, at least 6 feet tall. That was it. You can be taller than that. That's fine. The taller, the better. I love tall. And I'm sorry. Average and short people. I'm sorry. You can pick me apart too. That's fine. It's nothing personal. That's another topic, by the way. We'll be talking about that. So yeah, that was one of the things. And somebody that I had matched up with on the app or website then, was it even an app then? Walked through the door, said that he was 6'2". I think he said he was 6'2" in his thing, maybe just 6 feet tall. And when he walked into the place that we met, I was sitting and I turned to say hello to him and he was eye level with me. I'm not good at math. Math is not my strong suit. It's not my thing. But even I understood that he should not have been eye level with me while I was sitting. So obviously, he was not what he said he was. He was not 6 feet tall. Does that make him a bad person? Because he's not 6 feet tall? No, absolutely not. It makes him a kind of a shitty person that he lied. That's the problem. The lie is the problem. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. There was that. I just remembered it. So I thought I'd share it. Timing, balance, chemistry. That chemistry is so important. And you can't really build on anything without it. Not anything real. Sure, you can go for superficial if you think somebody is, wealthy or something, or has some kind of status that you wish to attain for whatever reasons. But you're not attracted to them. You don't have chemistry with them, but you decide to pursue it anyway because of what they have or what they do. I mean, you're not going to be happy, tell you that right now. Maybe you'll be well off, but whatever. That's dumb. And no offense, but it's dumb. Yeah, I don't care if you take offense. That's dumb. So chemistry, hugely important. You got to have chemistry. And when chemistry is off, the relationship is off. Obviously, it goes for all three of those. Timing, balance, chemistry is the whole thing. You need all of them together, all three ingredients together at the same time, working together, make for a really, really successful foundation for a relationship. And when one of them is out of whack, the relationship is out of whack. So if your balance is out of whack, your relationship's going to be out of whack, you know, and that happens a lot. That one's not like a deal breaker by any means in a long-term relationship. That happens very often, I think. You know, sometimes you're out of sync and you need to match up again. Sometimes your balance is off and you just need to kind of resync, and that's fine. In a committed long-term relationship, totally normal, totally fine. Same thing for chemistry. If your chemistry is off for a little bit, it can happen. It can happen. But that's really just a surface offness. Making new words every day here. New words. That's really just on the surface. It's not as critical as a deep long-term. So timing. Now that goes back to when you first meet somebody. You've got the chemistry. You can have the chemistry, but if you don't have the timing, you don't have the start of a relationship. You just don't. Because how can you, right? Doesn't it make perfect sense? Aren't you? I hope you're sitting here going, oh my God. Yeah. Timing, balance, chemistry. You got to have all of those things. When you have all of those ingredients, you're good. And throughout your relationship, you should be checking those, being aware of them, just noticing them. How's our timing? How's our balance? How's our chemistry? As far as timing in a long-term relationship, when you're already in it, timing is really just syncing up, basically. All of it is syncing up with each other. I think I should have had my husband on for this show because he'd be correcting me here and there on some of these points or just elaborating on them a little bit better than I can. He's a better speaker than I am. He really is. So smart. I love that. Every time I'm like searching for a word, I'm like, you know, and he's like, and he'll say the word. I'm like, oh, thank you. If I'm writing it though, if we're writing, that's where the difference is. When I'm writing, I come up with it right away. Great words when I'm writing. When I'm speaking, it's a problem. So, you know, that makes perfect sense. Let's do a podcast because you can't speak. So you should totally do a podcast, right? I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking it. You're like, dude, what are you doing? It's okay. Back to relationships, guys. Stop wandering around on me. Stay focused, okay? You're always trying to get off on a tangent on something else. Anyhow, timing, balance, chemistry. Get those all checked off when you are getting into a relationship and when you're in a relationship. And you are going to very, very, very likely, I can't guarantee it. I just can't guarantee it. But you're very likely going to have a really strong, solid relationship. You want the little tips? I'll give you the little tips. If you don't know them already, you probably do. One of the things that I noticed about my husband all these years, 15, all these years, I notice that my husband always says, please and thank you to me. Always thanks me. So as I discussed right in the beginning, he's the primary breadwinner. We are very traditional in our type of marriage that he's the breadwinner. I stay at home. I take care of the home. He takes care of bringing in the money. That's like the deal. So as part of taking care of the home, that extends to taking care of him. He takes care of me in his way. I take care of him in my way. Now, I am, if you've ever read or if you know about the five love languages, I'm an acts of service person. That is how I show love. That's what I do. So I enjoy making things nice for him. I enjoy cooking for him. I enjoy bringing him his food. I enjoy that. That gives me satisfaction because he appreciates it. And that's huge. And he always says, thank you. 15 years, he has never once not said thank you when I bring him food. Is that a big thing? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, maybe not. It's probably, you know, you can call it one of the finer details, small details, but details are in the fabric, right? Or no? Yeah, no, that's right. I think that's right. You can correct me in the comments. I don't remember, but you get what I mean. It's those little things that mean so, so much. And, you know, what does that mean? Obviously, it means that I feel valued and appreciated for my contributions. I make sure that he knows that he's valued and appreciated for his contributions. It's a give and take. It's a mutual gratitude and respect. And it's a spoken and shown. You have to speak it and you have to show it. You have to do both all the time, every day, every single day. I used to get annoyed when I'd hear people say marriage is work because I misunderstood it. Like my connotation of that was like, when you say marriage is work, it sounds like you're saying it's a bad thing. Like, you know, cause people are like, oh God, I have to go to work today. That's the mental image I would get. And that's not the case. It's the best work you'll ever do in your life besides raising your children. It is the most important work that you'll ever do because you put in the work every day to be connected, to stay connected with each other. I mean, what greater thing is that? You know, this is your person for life. This is the person you want to be with, you know, forever to the end of time, hopefully. I mean, if you don't, you have some problems there. we're going with the good parts. So yeah, I mean, please and thank you. Say please and thank you all the time, like every time, not obnoxiously, but every time, please and thank you. Can you get me a cup of coffee, please? Absolutely. Thank you. See how easy that is? I read a book just recently from one of my favorite actors of all time, Gene Wilder. And the book is called Kiss Me Like a Stranger. And I think the takeaway from that book, from that title, is that we tend to, familiarity breeds contempt, right? You're around somebody so much, you start to stop treating them as well as you did when you first met. You stop trying to impress them like you did when you first met. You stop being your best you. Familiarity, complacency, all of those things. So I would say sometimes look at your partner like they're the stranger you met back then and remember who you were then and who they were then, and try and be a little bit of those people. We all evolve and change, and that's a great thing. You get comfortable with each other, which is such a beautiful level in a relationship to have that safety and comfort with them. But just don't get to the point where you forget. So yeah, tonight, kiss your partner like a stranger. There you go. See you in the next episode.
Hey, family, if you're looking for the perfect gift for the reader in your life, why not check out one of my books? They're all available on Amazon and most major online book retailers, as well as elsacurt.com.